One of the things that I've learned about being a parent is that I have great expectations for my child. I want him to grow, and I want him to be successful in life. And I think about a woman who was a family doctor. She had a four-year-old daughter, and her little girl, she was very bright, and she had hopes that her daughter might one day follow in her footsteps and become a doctor just like her mama. So one day on the way to preschool, she was driving, and her little girl was in the back seat, and her stethoscope was in the back seat, and she looked in the mirror, and her little girl picked up her doctor's stethoscope and put it on. And the woman was overjoyed. She's like, yes, my little girl is going to be a doctor one day. I'm so excited. The little girl put the stethoscope on, and the mama almost had tears in her eyes. She was so happy that her little girl was interested in being a doctor. But then she pulled it up to her mouth, and she said, welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order? Oh, she was expecting one thing, but her little girl had something else in mind. Are we like that with God sometimes? Come on, y'all. God has big plans, and he has great expectations for our lives, yet we fail to see ourselves as God sees us. God wants us to believe him for great things. He wants us to be people of great faith. We ought to be so confident in the Word of God and so full of the power of the Holy Spirit that we have enough faith to charge hell with a squirt gun. He wants us to believe for the impossible. So tell somebody, have faith in God. So when I think about people of faith, there are two men in the Old Testament who are very high on the list. You know the story of Exodus, where Moses led the children of Israel to the promised land, and they get there, and he sends out the 12 spies to check out the land, and they come back, and 10 people give a bad report, and 2 people give a good report. Do you remember the names of the 2 people who said, we can do it? Anybody? Joshua and Caleb. Okay, what are the names of the other 10? Who cares? If you want to be forgotten, just be negative. I don't know about you, but I would be rather be remembered for faith than fear. How about you? So today we're going to look at Caleb, one of those 2 great men of faith, and we're going to learn from his faith, and we're going to apply that to our lives today. Here in Joshua 14, Caleb, you need to understand, Caleb is an old man. I mean, he's old. Caleb is so old that when he was a kid, rainbows were in black and white. He's so old that he went to school before they even had a history class. Caleb was so old, he took his driving test on a dinosaur. Caleb was so old that he went to a museum and people started taking pictures of him. He went to an antique store and they wouldn't let him leave. Okay, Caleb was an old man. He was not a young guy, but age is not a problem for God. Hello, I said age is not a problem for God. Don't let anybody tell you that you're too young or too old to be used of God. Daniel was 70 when he was thrown into the lion's den. Moses was 80 when he led the Israelites out of Egypt. He was way over 100 when they got to the edge of the promised land. And here is Caleb, 85 years old, and he's ready to go conquer a mountain. Caleb said, I'm 85, and I still got it. Some of y'all, if you told me you still got it, I ask you where you left it. But Caleb really had it. Caleb was 85, and he was ready to take the mountain. You see, for Caleb, the mountain represented an unfulfilled promise. God had promised him the mountain, but Caleb had not yet possessed it. Promised, but not yet possessed. How many of you are in that place today? I think all of us in some way are at the point where we have things in life that God has promised us, but we have not yet possessed them. Things that we've been hoping for, things that we've been believing for, but we haven't yet taken possession of them. I don't know what your mountain is today. Maybe your mountain is your marriage or your family or the salvation of your children or freedom from addiction or a new career path, or maybe it's a ministry that God has called you to, or maybe God has been stirring you up to tell people about Jesus. We all have things in our heart, dreams that God has placed in our hearts that he's promised, but we haven't yet possessed them. For Caleb, it was Mount Hebron. God promised it, but he hadn't possessed it. So quickly today, before we get down to business and party a little bit, let me tell you two things about Caleb that are going to help build faith in us today. Number one, Caleb had faith in the promise. Caleb had faith in the promise. Look at verse 6. Joshua 14:6, the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." The first thing out of Caleb's mouth was, "Remember what God said." Tell somebody, "Remember what God said." Caleb remembered the promise of God, and he had faith in the promise. You see, it had been a long time, but Caleb never forgot what God had promised. God said, "I'll give you everywhere you set your foot as an inheritance." Never underestimate the power of faith in God. God is not looking for the best and the brightest. He's not looking for the people with the most money or the most talent. God is looking for men and women who will simply have faith in his word. Caleb had faith in the promise. Notice that he waited 45 years for the promise of God in his life. That's a long time. Caleb waited 45 years. Most of us would lose interest after 45 minutes because we live in a right now society. Give me, give me, give me. I want it all and I want it right away. But here's what you need to understand about God. His timeline is different from our timeline. We want it right away, but God has a way of taking us through a process to get there. You see, God cares just as much about who you're becoming as he does about where you're going. God uses the process to bring perfection in our lives. You see, Isaiah said, "Strength comes to those who wait upon the Lord." You have to understand that it will take as long as it takes, but every promise of God will come to pass. Here's what Caleb learned. Some things have to die on the way to the promise. Look with me at Joshua 14, verse 8. "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you've wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old." In other words, God kept Caleb alive because Caleb believed the promise. But then God said, "For 40 years, you're going to wander in the wilderness till all the doubt dies." Some things have to die on the way to the promise. There are some things that God will take you through, a process of pruning and removing that God will lead you through before you're ready for what he's promised you. Sometimes some things have to die before you're ready to walk into the promise. So when you move forward in faith, there's always things that you have to leave behind. And sometimes the very thing that we look to for comfort and strength is actually holding us back from what God has for us. An entire generation of doubters died in the desert, and Caleb was finally face to face with the promise of God. And when he reached the promise, guess what? There were problems. You see, Mount Hebron was a big mountain. Its cities were fortified with big walls. And it was inhabited by big people. Caleb was facing an impossible situation. He was a little old man facing a great big mountain. And I imagine some people laughed at Caleb. They teased this little old guy. They mocked him. And if they did it to Caleb, they'll do it to you too. Come on, somebody. People are saying you can't do it. They're making fun of you for being a Christian. They're mocking you for walking away from your old lifestyle. They're making fun of you for your faith in God. They're telling you you'll never make it. You can't do it. It's impossible. Listen, it doesn't matter what the doubters say because nobody cares about them anyway. I like what the Bible says. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The mountain might be big, but the God inside of me is bigger than the mountain in front of me. Caleb stood on the promise of God and he said, 45 years ago, God said he would give me this mountain. He would give me every place where I set my foot, and I'm claiming this now. So if you're facing a mountain in your life, if you're facing a problem, an obstacle, if you're facing some giants right now, it's time to stand on the promises of God. If it's your marriage, find every promise that God has about marriage. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7:3, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife to her husband. 1 Corinthians 7:14, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified by his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified by her husband. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord, and husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Matthew 19:6, what God has joined together, let no man separate. 1 Corinthians 13:8, this is the winner right here. Love never fails. You tried everything else, try love, y'all. Find out what the Word of God says and speak to your mountain today. Find God's promises about your situation and stand on those promises. Healing, finances, your kids, whatever the mountain is, have faith in the promise of God. I like what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you say to the mountain, be removed. Some of you, that's your problem. You've let the mountain do all the talking. Come on, all you do is let your problems do the talking in your life. It's time for you to talk back and start speaking to your mountain, because the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And when you speak the word of God, you're speaking life into your situation. There are people here today, they want the blessing. But maybe you don't feel worthy. Maybe you don't feel qualified. Maybe you feel like you don't deserve anything from God. Listen, I want to tell you something today about Caleb. And some of you, this is going to blow your mind. For those of you who are familiar with the story, when we think about Israel going into the promised land, who are the two people we think about? Joshua and Caleb. Caleb's name is synonymous with Israel taking the promised land. But here's something you need to know. Caleb wasn't even an Israelite. Look at verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. It says that Caleb was a Kenizzite. The Kenizzites were descended from Esau. They were not Israelites. I want you to get a hold of this today. Caleb was an heir to the promise, not by birth, but by faith. God is not looking for pedigree. God is looking for somebody who will believe what he says. None of us deserve anything apart from the grace of God. Caleb didn't deserve the mountain because he had no birthright, but he had enough faith in God that God gave him the mountain. He didn't get the mountain because he deserved it. He got it because he believed God and he trusted him. It's not about who you are. It's about who God is. I love what the Word of God says in Romans 8:32. God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God will bless a Kenizzite with a mountain in Israel, how much more do you think God wants to bless you and take care of you? I love what 1 Peter 2:10 says. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. You might not be an heir by birth, but you can be an heir by faith today. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Listen, salvation is not about what you've done. It's about faith and what Jesus did. Jesus paid a price that he didn't owe because we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. Bible says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were at our very worst, God gave his very best for you and me. When we didn't deserve it, when we were not worthy, when we had no right to anything in the kingdom of God, God gave his son Jesus to pay the price for us so that we, through faith in him, could become children of God and heirs to the promises of God. If you're here today and you've not put your faith in Jesus, today is your day. This is your time for new beginnings. This Memorial Day weekend is going to be a weekend that you'll remember forever, because this is your day of freedom for faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, salvation is not complicated. It's not a list of things that you do and don't do. It's not a ritual you go through. It's not stuff that you can earn. Salvation, the Bible says, is by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved from sin, saved from hell, saved from a life without God by calling on the name of Jesus today. And if you're here this morning, you haven't put your faith in God. You haven't trusted Jesus with your whole life today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith. Will you pray with me? Let's just pray. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer a minute with all your heart, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. If you've been set free by the blood of Jesus, will you just celebrate this morning? Lord, we thank you. We praise you for freedom. Lord, we thank you that we are children of God and heirs of the promise. Lord, not by anything we've done, but we are heirs by faith in what Jesus did for us. Now, I've got a little challenge to you this morning before we close. I said two things about Caleb. I only told you one. Number one is he believed the promise, and number two, he had a fight in his spirit. Caleb believed the promise. He believed God, but he still had to fight for his mountain. So I want to encourage you today that maybe there's things you believe God for, things you've been praying for, trusting God for, and you haven't seen them fulfilled yet. Don't give up hope. Stir up the gift of God in your life. Get a fight in your spirit and keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? Amen. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be people of faith and not fear. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help every person listening right now. Help all of us, God, to have faith in your promise. God, to know and to recognize your promises in your word. God, to have faith in them, to stand on them, to believe in them. And God, that when it comes time, God, to face the enemy, Lord, that we will continue to fight the good fight of faith. And we thank you, God, that we have victory in Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.